afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Total Energy Services Inc. second quarter results conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Daniel Halyk, President and Chief Executive Officer of Total Energy Services Inc. Please go ahead, Mr. Halyk.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to Total Energy Services second quarter 2015 conference call. Present with me this afternoon is Yulia Gorbosh, Total's Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer. We will briefly review with you Total's financial and operating highlights for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2015, and then provide an outlook for our business and open up the phone lines for any questions. I now turn the call over to Yulia Gorbosh.
Thank you, Dan. During the course of this conference call, information may be provided containing forward-looking information concerning Total's projected operating results, anticipated capital expenditure trends, and projected drilling activity in the oil and gas industry. Actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected in Total's forward-looking statements due to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors affecting Total's business and the oil and gas service industry in general. These risks, uncertainties, and other factors are described under the heading of risk factors and elsewhere in Total's most recently filed annual information form and other documents filed with Canadian provincial securities authorities that are available to the public at www.sedar.com. Our discussions during this conference call are qualified with reference to the notes to the financial highlights contained in the news release issued earlier today. Unless otherwise indicated, all financial information in this conference call is presented in Canadian dollars. Total's financial results for the 3 months ended June 30, 2015, reflect continuing difficult industry conditions in North America. Included in our second quarter results are $4.5 million of non-recurring expenses that reduced net income from 17 to 3 cents per share on a diluted basis. These costs include one-time $3.8 million of income tax expense arising from the recently enacted 20% increase to the Alberta corporate tax rate and $0.7 million of accelerated non-cash accretion expense arising from the early redemption of the company's convertible debentures. Consolidated revenues for the second quarter of 2015 were $71.9 million, a 14% decrease from the second quarter of 2014. Compression and process services contributed 78% of 2015 second quarter revenues, rental and transportation services 19%, and contract drilling services 3%, as compared to relative contributions of 67%, 24%, and 9% in 2014. Revenue per spot to release operating day in our contract drilling division during the second quarter was $16,865, a 10.4% decrease from the $18,827 per day realized in 2014. Decreased spot market pricing was the reason for this reduction, although the mix of equipment operating in 2015 as compared to 2014 mitigated such decrease. Within rental and transportation services division, revenue per utilized piece of rental equipment during the second quarter of 2015 was relatively flat as compared to 2014. Although pricing pressure was significant, the mix of rental equipment operating as well as larger heavy truck fleet following the acquisition of Wyoming Trucking Company during the first quarter combined to hold this metric flat. Revenue within our compression and process services group was flat for the second quarter of 2015 compared to 2014. Increased fabrication sales and sales of compression rental equipment offset lower compression rental revenues due to a 19% decrease in compression horsepower and rent at June 30, 2015, compared to June 30, 2014. Consolidated gross margin for the second quarter of 2015 was 24.4% of revenue as compared to 25.2% for the second quarter of 2014. This reduction in our consolidated margin was due to the increased relative contribution of compression and process services to consolidated revenues, as this division usually generates lower gross margin than our other two divisions. Divisionally, our contract drilling and rentals and transportation services actually experienced higher gross margins during the second quarter of 2015 as compared to 2014. This was due not only to cost management, but also to the fact that low equipment utilization during the first half of 2015, particularly within our contract drilling division, has resulted in significantly lower equipment repair costs. Second quarter gross margins in the compression and process service division decreased by 280 basis points as compared to 2014, due primarily to a reduction in compression horsepower and rent on a year-over-year basis. Consolidated cash flow before changes in non-cash working capital items was $6.3 million for the second quarter of 2015, as compared to $19.9 million in 2014. The payment of $4.2 million of income taxes during the second quarter of this year, as compared to $6.2 million income tax recovery during the second quarter of 2014, accounted for $10.4 million, or 77% of the $13.5 million decrease in cash flow. The timing of the payment of income taxes is impacted in part by prior year installment payment requirements. In 2014, Total was not required to make income tax installment payments, which resulted in approximately $12.7 million of income taxes being paid during the first half of 2015 that related to 2014 taxable income. Total is required to make income tax installment payments in 2015, and this is expected to minimize the amount of income taxes paid in 2016 that relates to 2015 taxable income. Consolidated EBITDA for the second quarter of 2015 was $13.3 million, a 17% decrease from 2014. Substantially low equipment utilization and low pricing in the contract drilling and rentals and transportation services divisions were primarily the reasons for this decrease. Consolidated net income for the 3 months ended June 30, 2015 was $0.9 million, a 87% decrease from $7.2 million of the net income generated in 2014. 60% of the $6.3 million decrease in our second quarter net income was due to previously mentioned one-time income tax expense attributable to the recent 20% increase to the Alberta corporate tax rate. Looking briefly at our balance sheets, during the second quarter of 2015, we completed the redemption of $69 million of convertible debenture. Such redemption was financed with a $50 million of term bank debt and cash in hand. This refinancing not only eliminates a material source of potential dilution of equity, but it also reduces our annual interest and administrative cash costs by at least $2.5 million. In connection with the convertible debenture, we increased our operating line of credit to $65 million. This line is subject to standard margin requirements and is secured by cash, accounts receivable, and inventory. Our operating line remains undrawn and fully available today. At June 30, 2015, our total bank debt, less cash in hand, was $35.7 million. While our bank covenants do not contain debt to EBITDA financial ratio covenant, this equates to one time the $35.2 million of EBITDA generated during the first 6 months of 2015 and 0.4 times the $89.1 million of EBITDA for the trailing 12 months to June 30, 2015.
Thank you, Yulia. The second quarter of 2015 was a tough quarter for the North American energy services industry. However, I am pleased with how all of our business divisions have managed thus far through these difficult times, regardless of all the headwinds our industry faces. Despite $4.5 million of one-time expenses incurred during the quarter, notably a $3.8 million income tax expense incurred as a result of the Alberta government's recent decision to increase the corporate tax rate by 20%, our company remained profitable on an after-tax basis. I am particularly pleased of this accomplishment, given that we did not separate as one-time cost the cost that we incur during the second quarter to right-size our operations to the reality of current market conditions. Unfortunately, such costs are a regular occurrence given the cyclical nature of the energy services industry, which is why we choose not to segregate them. We fully expect that our industry will face a challenging environment for the foreseeable future. As such, we have taken the necessary steps to right-size our operations in response to reduced customer demand. Steps have also been taken to refocus sales efforts and to relocate assets to jurisdictions based on current and future expected activity levels. We will take additional measures to rationalize the company's operating cost structure and relocate operating assets and personnel as future industry conditions and customer demand may warrant. In our news release issued earlier today, we announced the appointment of William Kosich as Vice President, Drilling Services, effective immediately. As I mentioned on previous occasions, Total Energy had undertaken a search for a new Vice President to provide leadership guidance and support to our contract drilling group. I was very pleased with the caliber of candidates that expressed interest in the position, and we very much welcome Mr. Kosich to the Total Energy team. Bill will be instrumental in developing and executing our strategic plan as we look to continue to build our contract drilling services business. Our balance sheet has never been stronger and will serve us well during these difficult times. We believe that our industry needs to continue to look for ways to seek operating efficiencies in order to lower costs. This does not simply mean lower prices, but rather seeking to do things faster and more efficiently. As well, the North American energy services industry has excess capacity in virtually every major business line. The need for increased operating efficiencies and service industry overcapacity cry out for industry consolidation, and we are working hard to identify and evaluate opportunities in that regard. However, we will remain focused and disciplined in our execution as the difficult industry outlook compels us to be. I would now like to open up the phone lines for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Alec. Ms. Gorbach, we will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participant register. We thank you for your patience. The first question is from Scott Treadwell from TD Securities. Please go ahead. Your line's open.
Thanks. Afternoon, everyone. I wanted to start on the compression and process equipment side. Obviously, a little drop in the backlog there, but revenue held up relatively well. I'm wondering, without giving maybe too much competitive information away, at what point would the backlog start to really drop off? Is it sort of evenly weighted through the next four quarters, or is it more weighted to 15 or 16? Just trying to get a sense of what the shape of that curve looks like without getting maybe too granular.
Well, first of all, you know, the industry generally is in a tougher place. In terms of the backlog, you know, this is committed orders that, you know, will be built out over the next while. You know, we've been working with customers to manage deliveries to accommodate their schedules, but, you know, this tends to be a fairly front-end loaded number. And, you know, that said, you know, how that backlog plays out, I would say there's not a whole bunch of difference relative to prior downturns. And, you know, there continues to be new awards. But definitely, you know, things are slower. But again, you know, we're coincidentally the revenue number was pretty much identical year over year. You know, the underlying mix changes, but you know, we were pretty happy with how that group performed. And again, you know, we'll wait and see how things play out. But there's, you know, we're seeing a shift in terms of you know, the customer base. You know, certainly infrastructure plays tend to get a little more attention now, and you know, we're all well aware of the takeaway issues in northwestern Alberta and BC, and you know, there's infrastructure demand that comes out of that. So again, you know, we'll see how things play out, but there's nothing there that would be out of line with prior slower periods.
Okay,
I don't
great.
Know if that helps.
No, absolutely it does. A second one on compression, you know, a drop in the utilization of the rental fleet. Could you characterize that as some seasonal, some structural, or was that entirely industry-driven slowdown?
I think there's a bit of both. You know, we commented a bit on our last call in terms of the nomads. The flip side is you see, you know, beneath those numbers, a lot of movement on an individual unit-by-unit basis. I think there's obviously there were some takeaway issues, so, you know, why compress if you can't put it in the pipeline? That's surely part of it. You know, certainly we're in a slower period. The flip side is if you look at the rig activity, it tends to be today focused on more gassy areas. So I would suggest without, you know, any specific data that it anecdotally it's a combination of both factors, Scott.
Okay, good. And the last one for me, just I wanted to turn to rentals for a second. The revenue per piece, obviously down, but maybe, you know, overall revenue wasn't down as much as the headline numbers like rig count and completions, and when you add in that sort of revenue per piece might indicate. Was there some strengthening in the mix there, just, you know, the more valuable pieces were going to work and maybe it was less of the tanks and mats that are a bit more commoditized?
I think, first of all, our revenue per utilized piece, which is what we look at, so simply we take the opening rental equipment fleet plus the closing divided by two, and if you divide that number into divisional revenues, that was reasonably flat year over year for the second quarter. Now, as Yulia commented, there's two reasons for that. You know, pricing pressure is brutal. Again, as we commented during the last call, on certain lines, particularly dumb iron, we're seeing you know, prices I've never seen before. And we're bowing out of that because that's just not sustainable. That said, a lot of the projects we're involved with tend to be large, complex, where a malfunction of a $20 a day simple dumb piece of iron is going to cost the operator hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, having a bunch of dirty tanks or leaking tanks show up because someone's not replacing $1,900 valves, that's not worth the risk to prudent operators that, you know, have frac spreads sitting there waiting to go. So we're seeing differentiation there. Obviously, you know, we've added product lines we don't talk about, but they tend to be higher day rates. They're high capital cost. And the other factor is, you know, obviously we have trucks within our revenue mix. We don't break that out and won't. But our truck fleet is larger today than it was Q2 of last year relative to our rental fleet. You know, we did that acquisition Q1 of a trucking company in Wyoming, so that obviously would skew it a bit too.
Okay, and maybe just a follow-up to your point about quality of fleet. Have you seen, you know, an increasing tendency of operational upsets because, you know, people haven't been investing in maybe some of those smaller dumb iron type fleets, or is that something that's yet to come?
Absolutely. It's starting. I would say it's ahead of the curve in the U.S. relative to Canada. We expect more.
Okay, and is that's probably just due to seasonality that there wasn't a lot going on?
Could
in
be. I think it's also due to I'm not going to comment on who the secured parties are, but I suspect some of the secured parties down south have less tolerance. I know because we're trucking third-party equipment to auction sales and being paid by receivers.
Okay, great. That's all I've got, guys. I appreciate the color. I'll turn it back. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Dana Benner from AltaCorp. Please go ahead. Your line's open.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Dana.
I wanted to start with contract drilling. I would imagine you have taken the same strategy in Q2, and perhaps you'll be doing the same thing in the second half of this year that you did in the first quarter, which is, you know, due to frustration on pricing, just choosing not to market it, a bunch of that equipment for fear of just banging it up. So would that adequately characterize Q2 for you?
We lower our costs as best we can, and if we're bidding and losing work on price, we're okay with that in the sense, you know, no one's okay with losing work, but if you can't make a bit of money and cover your costs, we're not going to work. So you're quite right. And that'll continue. That said, again, you look at the Q2 margins, ironically, this year versus last year in our rig division, we're up. And why is that? Because in Q1, we ran our rig fleet at 18%. We did incur the typical big flurry of repair costs that normally come running at 65, 75% utilization in Q1. And again, keep in mind our utilization numbers are spud to rig release, so they exclude move up and demob, which you need to add 2 to 3 percentage points to our utilization to equate with the CODC reported. That said, you're bang on. We're not going to do that. And the flip side is anyone who does and doesn't cover the cost will be financing the repairs from some source other than income from the rigs. And, you know, we don't control or worry about other people. You know, we control and worry about what we do, and what we won't do is subsidize drilling programs by working at a loss. You know, it comes to the point where at some point you say, park it. But again, we continually strive to get our costs down and be competitive. I'm very comfortable that our costs are as low as anyone out there. At the end of the day, it comes down to whether the industry is going to subsidize drilling or not.
Right. Well, I guess companies are never really done restructuring, which is why you don't do the carve-out like many do. Is it safe to say that for now you feel the organization is right-sized to the environment we're in?
You know, I think we're watching things carefully, particularly in Alberta, and I think at this point we're pretty comfortable with our operations. You know, we were pleased with our Q2. You know, our management within all of our divisions did what they needed to do, and we don't take pleasure in that, but you got to do what you need to do. And we're going to continue to monitor, particularly Alberta. And my sense is it'll be more relocation of assets and personnel as opposed to cuts. But, you know, time will tell.
Right. That's really,
you know,
the next question.
We generally try and protect our core people, and we can be pretty creative in doing that.
Right. Thank you. And I guess ultimately that's the next question, which is you've already shown an increased willingness to move assets and I guess operations outside of Alberta. And should we be, as we think about you with a very good balance sheet and lots of dry powder, should we be expecting maybe a greater focus either down south or I guess at least in other provinces for the foreseeable future?
Yes.
Okay. And I guess moving to compression and processing here, or your compression group. Any more color that you can give us on any changing mix between compression and processing? Are you seeing one part of the market hold in there unduly, or is it pretty balanced?
I'm not going to comment on that. It's competitive, and we're not inclined to share where the strengths and weaknesses are.
Okay, I guess just one final comment on M&A. Is there one area within the triumvirate that you're maybe a little more intrigued on value and opportunity right now, or not necessarily?
Yes.
you only get one word answers twice. That might have been three, so you might have to expand.
The area that's going to provide us the greatest return on capital, in our judgment.
Okay, and I guess
we're looking across the board, Dana, and we're seeing opportunity on all fronts.
Okay. All right, I'll turn it back. Thanks.
So, you know, I don't mean to be flippant there, but it comes down to that. As between the three divisions, they're like children. We love them all. They're all different. At the end of the day, you're going to put money into the one that presents the greatest opportunity.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dana.
Thank you. Once again, please press *1 if you have a question. The next question is from John Morrison from CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead. Your line's open.
Afternoon, all.
Hi, John.
Dan, within Chinook, Do you have a sense for how many rigs you expect to run at the peak in the back half of the year? Or said another way, do you expect to add more rigs than you have in the field right now based on conversations?
I'm not going to give forecasts. We never have. I believe we're up to five today. But it's a well-by-well market right now, so those are extremely tough to forecast. I'm not going to try and forecast. What I will say, though, is, you know, first of all, we don't roll over and die. We've got sales and marketing, and we're, you know, we've added a new senior person that is a longstanding industry veteran, and it's a good time to hire good people. And we go out and we compete. And that's not going to stop. And the one thing I can assure, you know, our customer base is that we're going to be here to support and stand behind our products and services, and that may not be the case in every case. So we're seeing a little bit of high grade there. You know, generally the rig business is not quite as fractured as the rental and transportation, but at the end of the day, we're here to stand behind our work, and our customers can know that we'll be here. We're not going to have a receiver showing up hauling our stuff out like we're doing for others, and that's worth something to credible operators. It also means we invest in the repair and maintenance of our equipment, but we also expect when we work it, we generate a return that'll cover those costs. So you're not going to get a piece of junk showing up that's going to blow up halfway during the well. But again, you know, rig expense repairs are big. And if you're not covering your costs there, that's just, it's a no-win situation. And it ultimately is going to impact the operation.
For sure.
Or you end up subsidizing it.
Within rentals and transportation, can you comment on whether average pricing has seen a material change over Q2 versus where it exited Q1?
I think it's bouncing along bottom right now, John. I think on the U.S. side, we're seeing the, call it the insolvencies, a bit ahead of Canada, but we're going to see more on the Canadian side here as things roll out.
I'm trying to reconcile margins within the rentals business, and I guess I'm trying to reconcile a comment you made on the last call with it being one of the most challenging markets you've seen in the past, call it two or three decades, versus fairly resilient margins in the quarter. Was mix that big of a driver, or did you shave your cost structure that way?
We shaved our cost structure pretty hard. The other thing is you're now down to your A-team. You know, so when your A-team, whether it's your rigs, you know, our safety statistics have never been better. They're unbelievably good, but whether it's our rigs, our trucks, you know, our rental maintenance people or people operating rental operations, we've got the A-team out there. And when you have the A-team, your bumps and bruises are less. And bumps and bruises cost you money. Again, as I mentioned earlier, if we screw up, we'll take care of the customer. We're not going to make the customer pay for our screw-up. We're not going to pay for someone else's screw-up or someone else's choice to cut corners. But if we screw up, we stand behind it. And again, when you're running the C team, you're going to get more screw-ups and hence costs. So, you know, I think a combination of really tightening up, you know, having the A team and, you know, how we put it is everyone's got to make a difference in these market conditions. And if they don't, they're probably not going to be working for us. And difference meaning a positive difference. But, you know, I'm proud of our people. They've been through this before and they're doing what we need to do. So there's no magic behind it. It's simply rolling up the sleeves and watching every cent and doing a good job, not banging stuff up. And ultimately, I also, you know, we commented a few quarters ago, we'd last year given up market share. We're now getting that back. We brought our pricing down to where it needs to be. And definitely the first half of this year compared to 14, we've gained market share. It's hard to know exactly what it is, but anecdotally, I know we've gained market share.
Have you structurally reduced pay within that division as well, or is it just a simple function of more efficient operations? Because
so,
I'm just trying to understand the magnitude of overcoming pricing and activity.
On the salaried side, we've never had a salary rollback, with the exception corporately in 09, we voluntarily took one that's a pretty small group. On the hourly wages, where we don't control, you know, like the CODC and things like that, where the market chases them up, they come off with the market. But, you know, primarily, you know, our base salary compensation is built for the cycle, just like our dividend is. And it's built to survive the bottom half of the cycle. So it's not a whipsaw. You're not putting your employees through that whipsaw. We've cut no employee benefits. We've reduced no employee benefits. You know, as crass as this sounds, our only reductions on salary are 100%. But we will take care of good employees that take care of us. And these are times where hopefully our employee base, the loyal ones that do a good job, appreciate the stability we bring, where we're not eliminating their savings plans, we're not cutting their health plans, we're not rolling their base salaries down. Now listen, you know, your extra compensation that comes with strong market times, that's obviously going away, but they can count on a base paycheck, just like our shareholders can count on our dividend.
Within compression and process, in terms of the backlog change quarter over quarter, was that all converted into sales, or did you have any contract cancellations in the quarter?
We've had no. We've had one purported contract cancellation that we're working on, but it's not something that's we're broken out yet. So we're in discussions. But our contracts are extensive take or pays, and so there's either two things: one, it gets built, or two, there's a termination payment. So we're discussing that. But for the most part, our backlog's rolling along just great.
Okay. So you don't view the backlog that's booked today to have any material risk in the next few quarters?
There's always risk, but if it was material, we'd be disclosing it.
Okay. Appreciate the color. Good quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to you, Mr. Alec.
Thank you. If there's no further questions, we thank you all for participating in our conference call and look forward to speaking with you after our third quarter. Thanks and have a good afternoon.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.